Happy Easter, huh? What'd you think of that choir? That okay, wasn't it? You think we ought to hire them? I think we ought to. I believe they did a great job, and we thank the Lord for them. Happy Easter. Better, we should say, really, Happy Resurrection Morn. But we can get by with Happy Easter. It'll do. Happy Resurrection Morn. It's good. Sunrise service, the Lord was good to us. We just got a drizzle on us. Didn't really get rained on, and I'm thankful for you who could be there and take part in a good breakfast and celebration. And here we are, celebrating Jesus Christ the Lord again. I better learn how to speak here today. A great choir and good things happening. And here we are, once again, the house of the Lord to say thank you to the Lord. It's a wonderful day. And people throughout the world, not just at Jones Chapel, as you well know, but throughout the world are celebrating this happy day, this resurrection morning, because we know Jesus Christ the Lord is alive. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And He is alive today, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, the Scripture tells us. And we're so thankful. We do that every Sunday, though, not just this Sunday. As Christian people, as followers of Christ, we celebrate what Christ has done every Sunday, and all days, really. So we serve a risen Savior. He's alive. He's well. And I'm looking forward to the day, just like you are, when we do see Him face to face. After all He has done for mankind, what He's done for me personally, what He's done for you and your walk with the Lord, how much and He's done, and we look forward to meeting Him face to face. Because He is preparing us a place, He said, and one day He would come back for us, and I look forward to that. 2 Timothy chapter 4 on the screen says, I fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to also all who have longed for His appearing. One day that's going to happen, and we will be with Him. We gather like this today, and I'm fortunate to have my parents with me now, and have them. They're alive and halfway well. they're hanging in there. They said the getting old's not for sissies, is what he says, my dad. But I'm thrilled that he's here, and I have them. I can still talk to them. One day I may not, or whatever. Some of you in this year, your parents have went on, or grandparents, to meet the Lord. And you know, it's a grieving process, but I'm telling you, I thank God for the blood of Jesus, don't you? I thank God for this great Son, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross, who arose from the grave with victory over death and hell and the grave, and that I too someday will see my grandparents. I too will see loved ones that I've lost and friends that are now in heaven. And how did they get there? Only one way, through Jesus Christ the Lord, and them accepting His death and resurrection and living for Him. Friends I have in India, people who are all over the world that you know on the mission field, one day all of God's people will be together, and we look forward to that day, all because of what Jesus has made possible. Matthew 27, that scripture 63 through 66, says, Sir, they said, we remember that while He was still alive, that deceiver said, After 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, His disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that that He had been raised from the dead. The last deception would be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. So that old deceiver said, you know, no deceiver to it. Just exactly what Jesus said He would do, He did. Now, I don't know if you see the humor in that or not, but I believe God did. I believe that God in the heavenly host was looking down, and they saw what was going on. The chief priests, the Pharisees, and all these people spouting out orders. And oh, he said he was going to rise again, and on and on. And here's the soldier after they're following orders, and they roll that stone and grunt and complain and say, oh. And here they're rolling that huge stone in front of the tomb like that's going to stop the plan of God. I think God chuckled. If he laughs, he just chuckled. And the heavenly host with him, like, really? You really think that's going to stop the plan of God? Well, it didn't. And I'm glad that it didn't. God said, here, sun. Pew. Here, moon. Spoke and flung them into space. That same God is not worried about a piece of rock. That God who created the heaven and earth is not worried about the Pharisees and the chief priests giving a few orders and not knowing what they were talking about, or the soldiers all big and muscular rolling that stone. That don't stop God's plan. God's plan will prevail. It will prevail forever. So he saw some humor in that, I believe, anyway. Let's look at the next slide, Matthew 28, 2 through 4. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. God spoke the word, and instantly the angel went. And here we have the angel descends, the earth is shaken, the stones rolled away, and that same soldier, or some of the same, were paralyzed with fear. The chief priests, the Pharisees, they're trying to stop the plan of God, and it will not work. They tried to seal up now the Son of God in that little tomb. Tried to seal it up. Say, we got it. He's secure there. No, that didn't work. They didn't seal the tomb. Sometimes, if we're not careful in life, we try to do what they did, or what they tried to do. We don't come out and say it like that, but we're trying to seal Jesus up in his little territory over here. Well, Jesus, yeah, I want to be saved, and yes, I want to go to heaven. But now, Jesus, don't ask me to change anything. Jesus, don't ask me to don't mess with my life. I like it the way it is now. And we try to seal him up over here and put him in his little box instead of saying, come. Change the way I talk, the way I think, my emotions, come. Change anything about me and open ourselves up to the things of God. Sometimes we too try to seal Jesus up, and it's not the way to go. Just stay in your little corner over here, Jesus, and everything will be okay. No, Lord Jesus, come. Look within me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and change me, and help me to be the person of God you want me to be. Look with me at the next slide. It says the resurrection proclaims the power of God. The soldiers couldn't stop it. The seal didn't stop it. The big rock didn't stop God's plan. And the tomb is empty. And we celebrate it. We praise him. We worship him that it is so. I wasn't there. Neither were you. But history records it. And so does Scripture, that it is recorded that it is true. I believe in the resurrection of the Lord. Eyewitnesses have passed it on through Scripture, have passed it down in history. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 8, the Apostle Paul wrote this, for what I received I passed on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and on the third, he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. If you look on the screen at 1 Corinthians 15:4, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. History records it, the scriptures record it, that he arose. If it is a lie, if it's not true that Jesus died and arose on the third day, there's no use for us to be here. There was no use to get up early and go to the sunrise and say, well, what if it rains? What if it don't? I don't know what to do. Well, I'll come back here to church on Resurrection Day and I'll sing the songs. I'll hear the choir. The preacher will say a few words. If Jesus is not alive today, we're wasting our time. But he is alive. I submit to you through the Word of God and through the Spirit speaking to your spirit throughout recorded history that Jesus Christ the Lord is alive and well today. Now you ask the question, is Muhammad alive and well today? Is Buddha, is Allah, is all these, are they alive today? Can you prove it? And you say no. Well, I can prove that Jesus Christ is alive today. Now, how am I going to do it? I wasn't there that morning at the tomb, but because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You ask me how I know he lives, because what? He lives within my heart, and we're here to worship him and praise him. Well, there was a cartoon. You might have saw it some at Easter time. Two soldiers standing there at the tomb. And one was all worried, kind of, the look on his face, because they had failed at their mission. And the other one just shrugged it off, and he said, oh, don't worry about it. In 100 years, nobody remembered anyway. And 100 years went by, and guess what? People all over the world, not just a corner of the universe, a little corner of the world, all around the world, 100 years, people gather together and they said, guess what? We're here to celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. 2,000 years passes by and people are still gathering, praising the Lord and worshiping him because they know he lives, because he is alive. And I submit to you, if 2,000 more years go by, they will still be people gathering and praising God for this great thing called salvation, the death of our Savior and the resurrection of our Lord, because it's true. Now, do you accept it? Do you believe it? Well, Grandma believed it, and Mom and Dad believed it. I know that's good. Do you believe it? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a baby, the Christmas story, born of a virgin, and that he grew up and he did great things and performed these miracles, and sure enough, he died on the cross? Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Not what Grandma said or what Papa said or what whoever said or the Sunday school teacher said. Do you believe within your heart, mind, and soul, your being, that Jesus Christ died for your sin? I hope you do, because it's true. It's the greatest story that's ever been told, that Jesus died for you on Calvary's cross. You know the stories, you watch the movies, The Passion, you know the crown of thorns, you know the beatings and what he went through for you. And you know he was on that cross, and you know about the nails and the spikes in his hands and his feet. You know the story of that old cross being lowered down in the ground and the boom when the pole went down there and the tearing of his flesh. If you was at the crosswalk, Bill did an excellent job in reading and describing from medical science what really took place in the body of Christ and how he explained all those, he used words that long. I couldn't use that because I couldn't say them. All those medical terms and all that and what really happened to the body of Christ. And when he said, it is finished, I commit my spirit to you. They put him in the tomb, and what would happen? What would happen? Just what Jesus said would happen. On the third day, he arose. So thank God that we have a risen Savior. And do you really believe it? Do you believe it? And have you accepted Jesus as your Savior now? I'm talking about where the rubber meets the road. I'm not talking about a sunrise service. I'm not talking about hearing a great choir and a preacher every now and then has a good sermon and I go here and I'm a member there. Are you saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and living for Him? Not you just believe a little something, you got a little warm fuzzy one time. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sin, He arose with victory over hell, death, and the grave, and He loves you? And He wants an intimate relationship with you. And He wants you to grow in the faith. And He wants you to be His disciple. And He wants you to be in the church body, functioning as part of the body, and being a unit, and doing good work in the kingdom of God. Oh, I hope you believe it. And if you do, it'll show some form or fashion. It'll show. You'll be in the house of God someplace. And you'll be doing something in the kingdom if you really believe it. If you really took Him up on His promise. The next slide says the resurrection changes the way we look at life and death. You see, death is a terrible thing to us. We grieve and nobody likes it. We don't like to talk about it. But because of what Christ has done here, it can change the way we look at it. He says it's kind of like sitting down at a banquet with God, that He's invited us here to a happy place and we'll be in His presence. And He says, look at death that way. Someone said, death's like going home. You've had a hard day. You've been on the road all day. You've been in the office. You've been doing whatever you do. You've worked long hours and you get that last task done. And then you say, I'm going home. And you get home and it feels good, doesn't it? You got your favorite recliner. You got the smell. Your home has a smell to it. And the people around you, you know, you're just used to that, whatever she plugs in or sprays around in there. You know, you're used to it. That old recliner feels good. And the people are there and you experience love and it's like, boy, I'm glad I'm home. One day we'll be home in a place called heaven, all because of what Jesus has done. I'm going home. At a long end of a long day, I'll be home. Well, if you want to go to heaven at the end of a long life, you've got to go Jesus' way. And He says, I want you to accept me as Savior and Lord and love me and worship me and serve me. Well, the empty tomb. The empty tomb. Truly empty. A source of hope. A source that, hey, there is new days ahead, and Jesus is there. Well, the empty tomb. Those seals didn't work. The soldiers couldn't stop it. That big old rock in front of the tomb that was rolled there didn't get in the way of God's plan. Exactly what God had planned came about. And God says to you today, I'll give you hope. I'll give you victory. I'll give you what you stand in need of this day if you'll serve me. I've told you about Laurie Salerno over and over many, many times and how she described that God-shaped hole at a youth convention one time. She said, all of us have a God-shaped hole within our heart here. And we go through life and we try to pour everything in that God-shaped hole that we want, that we lust after, we desire, whatever. For some it's drugs, for some it's alcohol, from some it's sex or whatever. We just try to fill this God-shaped hole within our heart full of something. And it all just drains out. It never fills that God-shaped hole. Except when we allow God to fill that God-shaped hole. When we allow Jesus Christ to enter in our hearts and our lives and be our Savior and our Lord. Well, Easter, the message of Easter, of this resurrection, is that God's preparing something greater. God's preparing something bigger for all of us. And He's trying to get us ready to go. you take a newborn baby. Somebody just walked out over here, the Hintons, I think it was, with that little baby. And God formed that baby in the mother's womb. Jointed all those little bones and tendons together. And God created all those little kids walking around. Here's a little one right here. They're all over the place. Here's one right here. He ain't no little kid anymore. But can you believe? Did you believe God created me in my mother's womb? How many of you believe that? How many of you think God makes mistakes? You gotta love me. Oh goodness, God, that's a trick. What, Lord? That might have been in the flesh. If it was, forgive me. God creates those little babies in the mother's womb, puts all that together, and the eye can see, and the ear can hear, man alive, the nose can smell, and there it is, something beautiful that God creates. And he's saying, listen, I'm wanting you to see this great creation, just like that little baby is born to that mother. Listen, I'm preparing you. I'm preparing that little baby to be born into the world. And listen, children of God, I'm preparing you for something bigger and something greater in the world to come. And I want you to be there. I want you to see this better place. I want you to see this greater world. And it's through Jesus Christ the Lord you'll get to go to heaven one day. So wherever you're at today in your walk with the Lord and your faith or your spiritual journey or however you want to phrase it, you know where you're at today. You might be living right at the foot of the cross. If you are, I rejoice with you. But the chances are, in a crowd this size, they may be one or two or three or four, or who knows, that in their heart, you know, in that God-shaped hole, I've been pouring whatever I can in here to try to satisfy that inner man, to try to satisfy life, to try to get a hold or get ahead or whatever. And you know you've been pouring all the wrong things in your life. Today, Jesus Christ stands and he knocks at the door. He says, I love you. And I'll tell you why I love you. And matter of fact, I've proven that I love you. Well, how'd you do that, Jesus? I did exactly what I said I would do. Yes, the virgin birth, the Christmas story, the miracles, yes, they're all through time are true. I died on Calvary's cross. I was put in the tomb, and on the third day, I arose to prove to you that I love you, to prove to you I am your Lord and your King. And I love you no matter where you're at today. No matter how good and holy you might think you may be. No matter how bad of a sinner you might think you may be. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. And he arose with victory over hell, over the grave, over death itself. And he's waiting on all of us to accept him as Savior and Lord and live for him. If you've done that, I rejoice with you. If you haven't, listen, what a better day. There couldn't be a better day than resurrection morning to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I really do need a Savior. I need to be saved. I guarantee you, if you'll pray it with a pure heart, he'll take you up on it. Would you stand with me? Lord, we can't begin to thank you and to praise you enough. We can't thank you and praise you enough for this day, this resurrection day, when we celebrate all that you have done, yes, the death and the resurrection of our Lord. And Father, many of us have heard it all of our life, as long as we can remember. And we know the story, the first time we heard it, is the same story that it is today. But with all of our heart, with all of our being, we want to say thank you. We want to worship you, and we want to praise you. And because you live, we truly can face tomorrow. Now, Lord, you know our hearts and our lives. You know where we're at with you. And what's important right now, right here and now, is that we be honest with ourselves, that we be honest with God. One day, time will be no more. It won't be like it is now. Jesus will come, split the eastern sky. Death may call me home today for all I know. I want to be ready. And I just pray now, Lord, on this resurrection morn, that we do business with you. Thank you that you've done all you can do. The provision has been made, and that you love mankind. You love these children here today and babies, to the oldest saint in the building, and you have a plan for all of us. May we take you up on that plan today. So, Lord, work among us, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.